everybody this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you, Lord, that you've gathered us around that table again. Lord, as it is in the world, we never stop getting hungry, Lord. And spiritually, it's the same. We get hungry, even though we get good meals, we still get hungry. And we so thankful, Lord, for that, that you put in us to be hungry for the truth. And Lord, we're missing Brother Don and Brother Goomba this morning. And pray that you'll bless them and be with them, be in the services there. And Lord, just have your will here with us this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So this last time I did a lot of backgrounding, and one of the things I wanted to point out of the backgrounding before we start today's service is the part about Brother Branham pointed out that the Logos was male and female. Remember that? He said it was both male and female. So without both the male and the female part, the Logos is not complete. It takes both. And we see that so many places in the Word where it takes both. It takes, Brother Branham said, God could do without us, but we can't do without Him. And I was thinking back over these things, and it put me in mind of Katrina and I went to Williamsburg 1 year. And in Williamsburg, they got the old plantation, like it was, not the plantation, but the old town of Williamsburg back that started like in the early 1700s. And all the laws that they had on the books were laws that they had got from the Bible. And so Katrina and I, as you go around the town, they have different parts of the town where they reenact whatever was going on in that area, you know, like the crier for the news and where they kept all the weapons, and nobody got a weapon until they signaled that they needed weapons, and then they went and got them and come out. But they also had the courthouse, and they had a jail out back that they said was only used to hold somebody before the court started. It was not, there was no jail sentences handed out. And so they had the stocks in the front, which was part of the punishment they gave out. And then they had the courthouse. And so Katrina and I waited around till they had the court cases. And so they would bring in these people dressed like they were back there. They had real court cases from back there that they had transcribed, and they would redo the court case in there. And there was this particular one, they did several of them, but there was this particular one that caught my interest. There was a man's wife, and this is before Wesley started teaching, so they were, even though they went to church every Sunday and you get in trouble, that was one of the court cases. If you weren't in church, some church on Sunday, then you went to the stocks because you were in trouble, because they wouldn't tolerate nobody going to church. That was the beginning of America. Now it's the opposite. But that's not the court case we were talking about. We wanted to talk about the one where this woman was drinking. She was in the town there, and she got to drinking too much, and she got up on the, of course, any too much, but she got up on top of this table and started singing a song about the king and the queen. And it was not very nice about the king and the queen. It was very mocking about the king and the queen. And so they caught her, and she was going to have to serve. And so she come into court, and her husband comes into court with her, and they tell everything that's going on, and it's assumed. It's assumed. See, she's on trial, but her husband has to pay whatever. He was her covering. That comes straight out of the Bible. He was her covering. So whatever the sentence was, if it was financial, he had to cover it. So the judge levied the fine at £2. which evidently that was a whole lot of money because he started fussing that he couldn't pay that. And so he said, well, if you can't be her covering, if you can't pay the fine, then she has to go to the stocks for so many days. And when you went to the stocks, you stayed in the stocks. You didn't come out at night. You stayed there 24 hours a day, forever how long it took. You did not want to go there. And so she starts crying and stuff, and he feels bad that he's acted that way. And he pleads with the judge to let him go ahead and pay the money. And the judge said, okay, you can pay it. But he said, now it's twice that much because you thought to come against the court. But the point of the whole thing was that he was her covering. And I thought that was so beautiful. Now, I know nobody in there much probably knew what that meant, but us in the message, knowing what the prophet taught us, I thought that was so beautiful that he was our covering. And we've been singing about that this morning, him being our covering, him being. So man's tried to make his own covering. Adam from the beginning tried to make his own covering, you know, tried to make his fig leaves and different things like that. But God had a different idea of what his covering was going to be. And so I want us to take a real close look at that first covenant and kind of go slow and not. I kind of feel like I'm trying to say too much in a message. And so I want to slow down. And so if you feel like I'm talking elementary to you, you forgive me, because that's, I don't know how to slow down other than just slow down like that. So just bear with me. And I would rather you think I'm talking to you like a child and get it than think I'm, you know, and then not get it, because I'm more interested in you getting it than anything else. All right, so let's look at this. So I wrote down the three things there that we're going to hit on, those points this morning. And let's see. We went way back, all the way back. Sister, I printed those out before I had put the points on there. I'm sorry. They were on the electronic quotes. But I can get you some if you want. I'm sorry about that. I just realized it a while ago. But the message, faith is the substance. Now, that was way back in 47. But he keeps saying this. Now, I wanted us to think about this before we actually start looking at the covenant. When Moses came to the age of maturity, he went out and seen two Egyptians mistreating a Hebrew. And he slew the Egyptians and buried them. And the next day, when the Hebrews striving among one another, why they said, well, will you kill us as you did the Egyptians? And now look, be quiet, people. Moses, the very deliverer, God's gift to the people, they did not understand him. You see what I mean? They did not understand Moses, and Moses thought surely that they would understand that he was their gift to deliver them. And he was, but he wasn't acting like the gift yet. He was acting on his own at this point. And they did not understand. And that's a key point, okay? That's a key thing that we want to remember. Moses acting on his own, they couldn't recognize him. But when God went to acting in Moses, then the ones that were supposed to recognize him, they recognized him. But they did not understand. And now, friends, don't get me wrong. May I say this with reverence in my heart, knowing that I'm an eternity-bound person that'll stand before judgment someday. Hang on a second. Thousands of people are missing their gift. He's talking about him being the prophet to the age and the healing they could have and the message and the word they could have. And he's going to liken that to Moses. Thousands of people are missing their gift, see? They can't understand it. And they'll look and say, oh, he's just a man. And that's true. Was it God or Moses that delivered the people? Now, y'all have heard me say this a bunch of times. And he says it a bunch of times. It was God in Moses. See, he wasn't just Moses by himself, because we saw what Moses by himself was doing. He was making a mess. And Brother Rem said he had to send Moses out on the backside of the desert for 40 years to get Moses out of Moses so that he could put him in Moses, himself in Moses. It was God in Moses, see. They cried for the deliverer. And when God sent the deliverer to them, they failed to see it because it was by a man. But it wasn't a man. It was God in the man. All right. That dwelleth in me. He's the one that doeth the works. So there was a missing part of the tape there. He's the one that doeth the works, you see. But he was telling us about Christ. That's what he was doing. He was telling us about how that Christ said, it's not me that does the works, but him that dwelleth in me. He's the one that does the works. So without God, Christ was a man. Without God, it took God and Christ together. That's what Christ is, the anointed one. But he was God's gift to the world. God gave him for you and I. Aren't you happy about it? God gave him. Well, now, and we understand that not only was that God given him, that was God given himself. See? Well, now, the people that believe that God give him, they can be saved. But those who do not believe it, they can't be saved. See how they're missing their gift? Is that right? And there's no other way at all to enter the kingdom. No other way than to recognize that he was the one who paid it. Well, now, if you believe it, you can be saved. But if you don't believe it, you can't be saved. Because he is God's gift. And how did Brother Bram say that we believe? The only way we can believe is by revelation. And what is revelation? It's when God tells you personally what his will is for you. That's revelation. Then you can live by that. That's where you're anchored, right there. You can't anchor on a funny feeling. You can't anchor on an idea. You can't anchor on your explanation or your interpretation of the message like Brother Moses done, trying to kill the Egyptians. You can't anchor on any of those things. You got to anchor on that burning bush experience when God makes himself real to you. You know that God was in Christ. For no man could do the works that he done except God be with him. So no man's going to bring the word about without God being with him. See that? It's just not going to happen. I don't care who he is. Is that right? Then what was it? God was testifying that was his only begotten son. God was testifying that I've made myself a son. Made me a son before you. Is that right? God testified that. He said, this is my son. He said, if you don't believe me, believe the very work's sake. If you don't believe me telling you that this is God's son, then believe the works that are taking place that are showing that it's God's son. The man testifies. He said, the man testifies of himself. You know, the scriptures read, but if he testify and that what he says is not true, then believe me not. But if I testify and that which I say is true, my Father will testify of it. See, when you are lined up with that word, God has to testify to it. And if I tell you about a gift of divine healing and God doesn't testify of it, leave it go, it's wrong. But if God testifies of it, believe it's God's gift to you, that's right. You see what I mean? All right, so I wanted you to keep that in mind about how the only way that God's word is going to come to pass is when God in man brings it to pass. See? Man alone's not going to bring it to pass. That's what I want you to hold that thought as we go into this next part. Now, this is where we start talking about the covenant that God gave Adam there in the beginning. Now, we notice that Jesus was a manifestation of God. We just talked about that. Now, no man can do these things except God be with him. See, that's what they said. They knowed that there was something different in that man. He didn't act like the other ones. He done things that men can't do. He was bringing God's word to pass because God was bringing it to pass in him. He was the light of the day. He was God's witness. So did Korah see the same thing in Moses. They didn't have a man that day like Moses. He was God's divine witness of what? Of that day. So Moses was God of the day. He was witnessing that. Of the day to the power of God. And Korah and his group saw it was Moses. They understood that it couldn't be Moses. Moses could not open up the Red Sea. Moses could not send plagues upon the earth. See, all these things that were happening through Moses, Moses couldn't do. Moses can't bring God's word to pass. It takes God to bring God's word to pass. And that goes right with what Brother Bram said, or the scripture says, that it's impossible to please God without faith, which is him revealing himself to you. It's impossible for you to please God without yielding to him. It's impossible. Moses could not send plagues upon the earth. It was God in Moses. And because God that represented himself in a witness or a light of the day, they failed to see it. And Korah wanted to make a whole group of men and bring in anything. So there we had somebody that was always going to act like a man, Korah. He never was going to change like Moses did. All right. I thought that was, we were going into the covenant, but I forgot I'd added that other quote. So now we're going into the covenant. God's provided a place of worship. He had a covenant with Adam, the first man on earth. And that covenant was on conditions. So if you do so-and-so, I'll do so-and-so. Adam, if you do it, not if you let me do it, not what he told Abraham, I already have done it. He told Adam, if you, Adam, do it. Now we're going to get into that detail on that here in just a minute, because what have we just been talking about? Man can't do it by himself. He had a covenant with Adam, the first Adam on earth, the first man on earth. And that covenant was on conditions. If you do so-and-so, I'll do so-and-so. Adam would have something to do in order to keep this covenant alive before God. Adam had to do it. It was all on Adam's shoulders. And what did we read last service? That he put man on equal basis with him. He didn't make man a creator, but he put it on Adam. Adam, you bring my word to pass. It's there. You keep it. And is that what he told him? You keep my word. Not I've already kept your word for you, kept it for you. You keep it. If you keep it, then I'll do this. Yeah, hold on to it. Hold on to that thought. Adam would have something to do to keep this covenant alive before God. He had to walk in God's ways. He had to walk in God's ways, keeping all of the word, not breaking one word. All right. So that's the first part of that statement I made. I listed 3 points. The first one was that the first covenant was based on what man would do. That's the first statement. Okay. So this is the second one, that it was set up when at the same time that he put Adam and Eve in the garden and he made Adam and Eve equal. Remember that? Brother Branham said that when he put the man and the woman in the garden, they were equal. Man wasn't head over the woman. They were equal. And even though they were equal, what did he say about Eve? She was made outside the original creation. She needed a head, but she wasn't given one. They were made equal. Even though she was made outside the original creation, could be deceived, God still made her equal. You see that? She could fall, but he still made her equal. And what did he do with Adam? He said, "You're on equal basis with me, Adam. You do what I said do." Now, keep holding that in your mind. He gave Adam the promise first, and that was, or the covenant, was on conditions. If you don't do this, if you won't do this, you will do this. So it's the same covenant that he'd given him a while ago. But he gave Adam the promise first. That's what I wanted you to see in that one. I had a few extra ones in there. I forgot I stuck in there before we get to marriage and divorce. Only God's provided place of worship. Now, there's got to be then one place, because there is a desire. Now, this message is God's only provided place of worship. Now, that's what he's talking about. Now, there's got to be only one place, because there is desire in the human heart to find it. And so there can't be a desire in the human heart to find a place if it don't exist. That's what he's saying. Not if it's a true desire. I think that the Word of God has the answer for everything that we have need of. And so God has the answer, and let's search for it now in the Scriptures. And then if God will show us by the Scriptures the only place, the only ground, the only denomination, if it's so, he said, the only way that God will meet a man, then we should hold to that, because we found the truth of the Bible. You know, if we find where that only place is, then we found the whole truth of the Bible. So let's see, he says. Now the word Deuteronomy, we read some of this last time. The word itself means two laws. The word Deuteronomy. And God has two laws. The two laws, one of them is disobedience to the word and die. And the other one is obedience to the word and live. So there's that one place right there. Obedience to the word. Remember what he told us in the token messages? You remember, y'all, if you hadn't listened to those in a while, maybe you can listen to one of those. But he said, when you have that full obedience to the word, entitles you to the token. And the token is the life. We heard that. It entitles you to that. All right, so this one place of worship is obedience. That's part of that place. Let's keep on seeing what he's talking about. That's the two laws. And Deuteronomy means there's two laws. They have both absolutely, they have both been absolutely displayed to us in the Scripture. One of them is death, the other one is life. Life and death. And God deals only in life, and Satan only in death. And these was displayed to the world publicly, openly, before everyone. And there's no excuse for it. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when the law was given, which condemned the whole human race to death. So that's not the place, right? It's not in the law. It's in obedience, but it's not in the law. The other one was given on Mount Calvary that brought the whole human race to life. So grace. Grace. See, grace is what gives you that obedience. Not because you worked up the obedience. Not because you made it happen. Remember what we said? No man can bring God's word to pass. God brings his word to pass. That brought the whole human race to life. When the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ, the two laws of Deuteronomy was fulfilled in these two great things. I want you to notice again, there was also two covenants given or give. One covenant was given to Adam, which was on conditions like law. If you'll not touch this, then you will live. But if you touch this, you will die. So it's just like the law. That was a law. Then there was another given to Abraham, which was by grace, unconditional. So Adam was not put under grace in the beginning. And we know that before the foundation of the world, we were all in Jesus Christ. We were all predestinated by his sovereign grace in Jesus Christ. And at the beginning, Adam wasn't put under grace. You see that? He was put under Adam, you do it. Then there was another law given to Abraham, which was by grace, unconditional. I have saved you and your seed after you. Amen. That is the type of Calvary, not the type of Adam covenant. Brother Branham said that God only deals in life. And he says the one that Adam was put under was death. God put him under a death covenant. He put him in the place that he was going to come to death. You see that? God did it. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. So you don't ever take Chris's word for it. You take the message. Because Brother Branham said that when Joshua, which is the prophet of the age, brings the message, then it's the Calebs that say what the Joshua said that make it in. See, they're the ones that respect Joshua. Respect the message, and they're the ones that have that faith to follow in. So don't, you know, I'm not going to tell you anything that's not the truth, but don't believe it because Chris told you. Amen. Believe it because God tells you, see, because it's no good. If just somebody tells you, somebody told Moses that he was that one and how it saved him and everything else. And then Moses intellectually tried to bring that to pass. And what did it do? Give a messed testimony. It wasn't a testimony that anybody could recognize because it wasn't God. It was Moses trying to deliver God or bring God on the scene, and it wasn't him. All right. This type of Calvary, this was a type of Calvary. Okay, we got that. But now we hear him say, there's only one place where he will meet man to worship. You heard it right here in the text. We'll refer to it back in a few minutes. Then if there's only one place that God meets man, we had better be careful. Now let's lay aside our traditions this morning and in this Sunday school lesson and be sure that we find the one place. Obedience through grace. Because God said here, he will not receive you in any other place. No matter how you try on your own, he'll not receive you outside of Christ. Brother Bram said, you have no relationship to God outside of Christ. And none of us. He will not receive you in any other place, in any other church. He won't receive you in it. Only in his church, the only place he'll receive you. Amen. All right, so now I said I was going to read it to you. That God put Adam under death back there. That covenant, Brother Ram said, was like death. And let's read why that was like death. This is in marriage and divorce. First was just a covenant. Adam and Eve was co-equal. One man and one woman. So we talked about that a while ago. And now they were put like that at the same time that Adam was told, if you keep this word, then I'll keep my word. Now the woman sinned, and what does she do? That throws them all to death. And now we're getting ready to read, how did the woman get in that place to sin like that? And God had to make a covenant by that, another covenant. So this is marriage and divorce. So he's talking about the other covenant that come into play. And this is where that early church there got their laws from, that Christ, the husband, was her covering. And here it is, right here in Genesis 3:16, he made another covenant. So we're going to skip on down to paragraph 151. Brother Branham had just finished reading the scripture. You can go back and read that if you want. Now argue with that a while. God did it. He had to make it this way. It had to be there. The woman, like she was outside the original creation. He's saying, God done it. Now listen now, for about 5 minutes, I want you to call your attention to something. What is God? God is a great eternal. And Brother Ram said that, remember the last service, we talked about him brooding over that seed. There's one seed of man, and he's brooding over that. And while all this is taking place, he's still doing that. He's still doing it. When he made the garden and there was two trees, when he made the woman and she was outside the creation, that's God still wooing over that seed. He's still bringing it to pass. He's putting Adam under this covenant. He knows it's going to fail, and that is still him wooing his seed and brooding over his seed and bringing it to pass. God is a great eternal. And at the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Did you know that? God is an object of worship. And there was nothing to worship him. He lived alone. And in him was attributes. And what is an attribute? A thought. Now you'll get something that will border on the lesson for tonight. And we're going to go there in just a minute. Who's Melchizedek? Notice, he was his attributes that was in him. Now, it was in him to be a father. Now, he's going to explain to you why God done that in the garden. And he's going straight to showing you that he's attributes. Now, it was in him to be the father. It was in him to be God. It was in him to be son. It was in him to be savior. It was in him to be healer. And all these things were in that seed. And he's brooding them into being. And all these things here are just displaying his attributes. There's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly he did. There's nothing out of order. It's just displaying his attributes. And now, he could not be just and make a man to fall. He couldn't force the man to fall. He couldn't make him a fallen man. Brother Bram said God was perfect, and a sinful man could not come from him. So he had to make man on equal basis. He would not be just and make a man to fall. He had to put him on equal basis of free moral agency to make his own choice. See that? That's where man's been ever since the fall, trying to make his own way, trying to make his own clothes with his fig leaves, trying to, and you know what that means, covering, trying to make a religion to cover his guilt and to cover his shame all this time. And God won't take any of that. You have to come through God's grace, his way. He can't be to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. So God set that up. He put him under that covenant of Adam, if you do this, then I'll do this. And then what did he do? He made Eve outside the original creation, put her over there so Satan could deceive her. What was he doing? He was setting Adam up and Eve up to fall. You see that? Y'all have heard this before, but I don't want you to miss the details, okay? Because it tells you what Adam was and Eve and what was happening and where the manifested perfect one came from and who he was. The manifested perfect one was not Adam. Christ was the manifested perfect one, and we were in him. It's hard to see that in there because of the different things that people have come up with in this day. But we have the prophet to tell us the truth. You know, this is hard for people to believe, that God would have set up the garden so that they would fall. Even though it was their choice, they would still fall. And God did it. On their own choice, they fail. And because they, on their own choice, fail, Brother Ram said he'd already slipped the wedding band of predestination on Adam's hand, on all of God's people. So it didn't matter that that happened that way. God was going to show who he was. But it was only through that way that God could manifest us. See, because it's God manifesting us. We're not manifesting ourselves. We can't bring any of these things to pass. Adam couldn't bring them to pass. Brother Branham said he gave Noah another covenant. Noah couldn't keep it. Noah couldn't bring it to pass. He put them under the law and said, okay, here's the law. And Brother Branham said he gave them the law to show them it wasn't going to work. It was not going to work. They still didn't know it by then. And they still don't know it today. I'm sorry, I don't be yelling. All right. Now, he can't be a savior unless something is lost. He can't be a healer unless something's lost. These things had to be that way. God made them thus that his great attributes could be displayed. If there wasn't that, he'd had never been a savior. If he hadn't set it up that way in the garden, he never would have been a savior. But we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was a savior. He was a savior. So there has to be something lost. And how's it going to be? And he just told us. And if he takes it and loses it just in order to save it, then he isn't justice to his own judgment. If they don't lose their own self by their own will and their own choice, and then him bring them back, then it's unjust to him. That's what he's saying. If he takes and just loses it, just in order to save it, then he isn't justice to his own judgment. So he set them up for them to fall on their own, by their own choice. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just because he lost him. He put him out there and made him lost. And then send him to hell? He couldn't. Remember we said last service, Brother Ram said, that God's not going to destroy man. Man will destroy himself. And man, God didn't lose man. Man lost himself. He is kind. He's talking about God now. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He is kind, gentle, true, honest, and he's a great judge. See, he would be working against himself. So if he put Adam down there and he caused Adam to lose himself, that's what he's saying. See? He caused Adam to be lost. Doesn't look real genuine, does it? If I come down and I cause you to be lost and then I say, okay, now you're in trouble. I caused you to be lost and now I'm going to put the law on you. You see what he's saying? So that's not what he did. He put Adam down there and he let Adam make his own choice. And how did he make his own choice? How did Eve make her choice? Because there was no other animal on the planet ever been made could make their own choice like that. Because he said he put man on free moral agency to make his own choice, him choose what's right and wrong. So he had to put a man out here and make him on free moral agency so he would, knowing, would fall. And the man in his own image, how could he fall? So he made Adam, and Adam's in his image. So how could he do that? How could you put Adam out there and let Adam just voluntarily come against him for no reason? Because he can't do that. So then he made Eve. You see why he made Eve? Because then he made Eve, and he knew Adam would love Eve, and Eve would go against God to go with her. He knew all this was going to happen. How could he fall? Now you see in daylight. So he had to make a byproduct, something outside of the original creation. Now God did all this to Adam when he put Adam under that covenant. He said this was all his setting it up. Before he'd done all this, it was in place before he told Adam, okay, Adam, now you keep my word. And he'd already set it up to fall. You see that? All right. So he had to make a byproduct, something out of the original creation. Now you see it? See, there you come. See, then that's what fell. The byproduct fell. He made it knowing it would fall. And it's put over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. And where is honor bestowed today? You think on that. Notice closely now. Then again, why she was designed this way and not like other females? Why was the woman designed so and not other females designed that way? None of the other females was designed like that. They're not today. They can't. Not being made that way, she can't do it. The other females. Why did he not make this female then a woman just like the other females? So she would just be the same way. Could just raise her babies. Then she would have her husband and live. And when it come time for a baby, she'd have her baby. Why didn't he make her like this? You know, I have never heard any other preacher ever bring this up. Because this was a revelation of God. That she was outside the creation, the original creation. You think about that. It's wrote right there in simple words. It's been sitting there for 2,000 years. That's in the Genesis, so it's been sitting there longer than that. And nobody ever saw it. Sealed up until this day. So it means something to the bride in this day. Why didn't he make her like this? I can't say these words, and you understand what I'm talking about, don't you? If you can understand, say amen. And he was talking about he's making her like that so that she could just go out and have sex whenever she wanted. It wasn't like the dogs or the pigs or the other animals that once or twice a year, it's that time, and they have sex, they have their babies, and they go on. This was different. And so that's why he's saying he can't say all these words. If you can understand, say amen. And the congregation said amen. Yes, see, there's young girls sitting here and young boys, see. But you know the animal has to come to a certain time of the year, then her mate, then that's all. But a woman, it's any time. And why did he make her like this? So she could, any time. Now watch his great program unfold. As we go on through here now, just as perfect can be. I didn't know this till the other day. Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of the females? Because it would be unbecoming. If he'd have made her in the original creation that way, it would have been unbecoming of him. It wouldn't have reflected him because she was deceived. Because it would be unbecoming to him. He is the fountain of all purity. That's the reason he had to let Satan get a hold of her. What he done in the perversion, such a creature would not be becoming to him originally designed for. And all his works that he's designed in the original is in continuity. All his original works was in continuity. The female dog, the male dog, see, the female cow, the male cow, everything's in continuity. All nature's in continuity. Seed die, go in the ground, just like death, burial, resurrection. The sap goes out of the tree, drops in its leaf, comes back the next year with resurrection. See, they're all reflecting God still. Man's not, but nature's still reflecting them. See what I mean? Everything went, everything, even nature of God, is all in continuity, in one. And here is one designed out of the continuity of God. Nature is so designed so it can't sin. Think. Only man could sin. Only man had a soul. Only man was put on free moral agents. The original creation of God could not sin. Oh, don't you see it now? In this view here, the perversion of the church, the original is God's word. There's no sin in God. See what I mean? Here is a creature that come into existence by perversion. God is going to have a church. But look at this perverted thing they got out here. God has male and female. But, you know, there's millions of people on this earth today. Today, on this morning. Some of them's already done it, and some of them will do it later today. But they're all celebrating the resurrection and have no idea what the resurrection is in this hour. Has no idea the thing that God purchased and bought for his people in this hour. They rejected the gift that God sent to them in this hour. God has male and female. But this woman, see, the very symptoms of it shows back what was in God's mind. See, because these things happen, Brother Bram said, you're seeing God's mind because he's the one done them. He's telling you what's going on and what's taking place. We could take an hour or two and break that down. She made this creature for that way. He made the creature and turned her so Satan could get a hold of her, and he did. He has still got her. She had better flee to the cross, like man too. And he's not talking to the sisters. He was just talking to those that are not born again. Notice all nature runs in continuity, and he'd have made the woman in the same original, if he'd have made the woman in the same original creation, there'd have been no sin. Because she couldn't have done it. She couldn't have done it. She is a perversion of the original creation. So, is all sin a perversion of the original truth? What is a lie? Is the truth perverted? Satan don't make anything. All he does is pervert. The only creator is God. What is a lie? Is the truth perverted? What is adultery? It's the right act perverted. So there is this perverted creature. There is the perverted whole thing. And the whole thing is spelled S-I-N, laying right there. That's why the question is so great. Talking about marriage and divorce. Only a piece, scrap made of a man to deceive him by. God made it right here, has proved it. That's what she was made for. Amen. And we know we're looking forward to the day where things will be different one day. So this is the message he mentioned a while ago. Who is this Melchizedek? He said, you're going to get something bordering on the service for tonight. So let's look at this. So before I move, though, did everybody see what he was talking about, what he'd done with Eve there? That was the basis that he laid. That's the foundation that God laid in the garden when he put Adam on that covenant that he gave him. There was no way Adam was going to keep that covenant. It just couldn't happen. God made sure he wasn't going to keep that covenant. Because why? That was the Holy Spirit of God moving and brooding on that seed of man and bringing to pass that fall. Because that's the only way he could do it. We just talked about all that. But that fall had to come so Christ could come. And when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. And then when this robe of flesh is dropped, there's a natural body, theophany, body not made with hands, neither born of a woman. What we got, that we go to. Then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body. That's the reason Jesus went to hell when he died and preached to the souls that were in prison, turn back into that theophany. Oh, marvelous. Thank God. 2 Corinthians 5:1, if this earthly body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle we have, another one, see, we have bypassed that to come straight from God. So we didn't go into that word form. We bypassed it. And that's where Adam was too. Adam bypassed it. God put him under that covenant and he bypassed. He wasn't going the same way Christ went. Brother Branham said Christ became theophany, then became Elohim, and then come on down. Brother Branham, remember we talked about that thought last week about him thinking about himself as man and it transmitting him down to be Jesus Christ. See, that's the way Jesus Christ come. He had us in him. But Adam come around that. You and I come around that. We come around that. Because we were still in him. And that's what Brother Brown's telling us. See, we have bypassed that to come straight from God, the attribute, to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin like Adam did. Adam come around it. And when the testing of his word is over, then we are taken up to this body. So when is the testing of the word over? We've been talking about it this morning. When he bowed his head and said, "It's finished," back there 2,000 years ago, that's when the testing was done. Now, Brother Brown said, we think, "Oh, I got to stop this. I got to stop that. I need to believe this. I need to believe that." Brother Brown said, just get in Christ and it's all taken care of. See, Brother Brown said, we died in him. We paid the price in him. And when he said he bowed his head and said it's finished, it was finished. That's ours right there. And that was for Adam and all of us. All of us. But when the testing of his word is over, then we're taken up to this body. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't go through tests and trials, okay? But we go through tests and trials with Christ, right? So it's over. If you're in Christ and the tests and trials are coming, he's done faced them all. He's our battle winner. He's our conqueror, see, above all things. But when the testing of the word is over, then we're taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It is the word there that we skipped to come around down to be tempted and tested. Adam, all of us come around that word to come down here. Adam come around to come down and be under that covenant. Adam, you do it. If you do it, then I'll do my part. Brother Bram said that wasn't eternal because it was based on a man. It can't be eternal, he said. He said the one he gave Abraham was eternal. If we'd have come through that, we could. Now listen to what he says. We come around it so we could be tempted and tested. And if we'd have come through that, through the theophany like Jesus did, there'd have been no temptation. There was no way Jesus was going to fall. But the Ram said he knew all things. He knew the beginning. He knew everything Satan could do to try to trick him. And Brother Bram said that finally on the earth come a man that would live by thus saith the Lord. Whatever the Bible said, whatever the word said. Even Satan trying to quote and misquote the word to him, he'd quote it back to him right. See, you see what? He'd come the right way because he was our champion. He was our Savior. If we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. You see that? There wouldn't have been a temptation. He couldn't have put Adam under that. Because there'd have been no temptation. There'd have been no temptation. We'd have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knowed all things, because he was the Word before he was the flesh. That's how come he knew all things, because he was the Word before he became flesh. We weren't the Word before we become flesh, so we didn't know all things. That's the covenant. That's the conditions that God put Adam under that covenant. He went around. He'd not become the Word yet. See that? Please don't miss it. If you please ask me questions afterwards, say, Chris, I understood this one, but not these other two, or whatever. Just talk to me, okay? If you don't understand it, if I can help, you know. He was the Word before he was flesh. Then we become the Word. Here we are formed to the Word image, to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word, by being predestinated since the beginning. You see, that little spark of life that was in you from the beginning, when you started your journey, many of you can remember it. You joined this church and joined that church, and then you tried this and that, and nothing satisfied. That's right. But one day, you just recognized it, right? Amen. All right, just a... one more quote, I think, here. See the love of God? After man had fallen and deliberately opened the door to the enemy and come in and marred him and set death in him, still God was not willing this be defeated. And he sounds like God is like, oh man, they fail. What am I going to do next? Well, I'm not giving up. That's most what it sounds like, don't it? But we just read what happened. God knew exactly, good and well, what was getting ready to happen. And he said, still God was not willing this be defeated. In fact, this was exactly what the scripture says, that he'll work all things together for good to them that love him. Doesn't matter what happens. And set death in him, still God was not willing this be defeated. He came down and started all over again. He was going to make that man again. He's just going to make him in part, or he was going to make him again. We'll just save that for next time. He was going to make that man again. He put Adam on a covenant. Do this and do and not this, and this and not that. Touch not, handle not, taste not. But we find out that when he started again, when he started to make the man again this time, he done brought the fall. He's got what he needs. Now he's got fallen man. So now he's going to make, all that was bringing the manifested perfect one. So now he's going to give the promise to Abraham, the royal seed of faith. It was going to bring this unconditional faith. He gave it to Abraham. But we find out when he started again, he started with Abraham. And in Abraham, he started on an unconditional covenant. Not if you will, I have. So it switches now. It's not man anymore. It's not what man's going to do anymore. It's nothing about what he's going to do. It's about what God has already done. We begin to see right then that he took care of the thing the whole time. He's had it took care of the whole time. And that's what Brother Branham said, when the seals come open, the whole Bible become a new book. Then he realized, see, he with the knowledge or the wisdom of God's word in this hour, you can look back and see that in the Bible, you can see what was taking place. What God was doing all the time, where when the seals were on it, we couldn't even see that Eve made outside the original creation was a thing. We couldn't understand that. I've blessed you, and somebody come along and say the prophet is a fraud and a liar. Oh my goodness. That's so terrible. I've already done it. I've blessed you. You and your seed and so forth after you. It was an unconditional covenant. He started with Abraham, his workmanship again, and now with his unconditional covenant. Then we find out he, based on Abraham, and give him the covenant unconditional with the promise. So he told Abraham, what did he tell Abraham? Walk before me and be thou perfect. What did he tell Adam? You keep my word and I'll keep your word. But now he's telling Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. But I've already took care of everything you're going to need to walk perfect before me. That just makes me want to sit down and cry a while. Some people scream and holler. I just boo-hoo. Sorry. I'm sorry if you like a screaming crying. That's a you have to do it yourself. But I'm just cry. It just comes out. God made two.3 covenants. The first covenant. Now I'm bringing this because this is going to lead into what we start on Wednesday night. Because Brother Bram said God is perfected in three. Is that what he said? So Wednesday night, we're going to take these same covenants and we're going to talk about God being perfected in three. The first covenant he made with Adam, broke it. The second covenant was with Noah covenant. It was broke. And then God made his covenant with Abraham. He never said, if you'll do certain things, I'll do certain things. He said, I have unconditional covenant. God determined to save man. No uncertain sign about that. Walk before me and be thou perfect was not a command that Abraham was going to have to make come to pass. It was just believe God and God would make it come to pass. Brother Bram said all they had to do was abide. Just abide. No uncertain sign about that. Abraham, I've saved you and your seed after you, and I'll swear by myself that I'll do it. Amen. Nothing uncertain about that. I've done it, already done it, see. Man's rotten to begin with. Anything he does is rotten. Anything he does. A brother back here in the church, I met him the other morning. We both had bought new Fords. And when we come down, why mine went wrong, his went wrong. Billy bought a new Chevrolet, and it went wrong. And I said, anything that man builds is corruptible. There's only one thing that's incorruptible. What Christ does, and that's Christ. Amen. He lives forever. Noah broke his covenant, or Noah's covenant was broke. Adam's covenant was broke. Anything that God makes with man, but God has determined and would save man because he foreknew man. And he was determined to save him, so he saved him by an unconditional covenant. He saved him by what he would do. See the Son, not eternal sons, but eternal God expressed as sons. That's what that is. So he saved man by an unconditional covenant. Amen. No uncertainty about it. He said, I will. It's holy by grace. And unconditional, which makes it by grace. Not if you will, I will. Oh, how glad I am for that. Not what I am, but what he is, was. Amen. Abraham, when he heard that covenant, he was so glad and so happy. Even being an old man, and God told him he was going to have a baby by Sarah. Now, what about us? As Paul said in his day, being encompassed about with so cloud of witnesses. A cloud. We've got a cloud of witnesses that we've been encompassed about. God and Abraham heard one covenant, and he was so happy. What about us? Years passed, and he didn't have the baby. But he kept saying, we're going to have it anyway. How do you know? God said so. Not by reasoning, nothing else. Not by this sign or that sign, because God said so. nothing uncertain about that. We're going to have it anyhow. God said so. That settles it. If God said so, there's nothing uncertain about it. Amen. And we can rest in the promises of God. There's nothing out of order. If God is the one doing the sun, manifesting the suns, and you're a son, what in the world have you got to worry about? Because he swore by himself that he was going to make it happen. He swore by himself that he's going to make Christ happen, and we were in Christ. And he's doing it. Amen. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. You're a part of God. There's nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of. Me and Brother Goomba was talking in the restaurant there the other day, and I guarantee you there's plenty of them got an earful, because we talked for 2 hours at least, if not longer, about the message. And we weren't quiet. And then we were surrounded. And they kept coming by wanting to check on us. I think they were trying to tell us to leave. But we didn't get it. We just kept talking. So, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Brother Ram said the truth is never wrong. Ever wrong. Say it, he said. So I am glad to be a part of that manifested truth. Let's stand. I'll put my glasses back on and I can see this song. Did y'all sing all these that were on here this morning? Oh, this is a different ones. Let's sing Cast All My Cares. Let's sing that one again. I will cast all my cares upon you. Read how that when they said don't pray, he went to the wind and threw the curtain wide open and started praying. When they said, Daniel, go into the lion's den, he walked right on into the lion's den. Brother Branham said he pulled up one of the lions and went to sleep. He cast all his cares aside. He knew who was in control. I thank him. Thank the Lord for that. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you, Lord. You always help us. You always keep us, Lord. We want to really take your word to heart, Lord. And realizing, Lord, the only place of worship is obedience. The only place of worship is in Christ. The only place, Lord, is that preeminence. You have in your preeminence. And anything less than that, Lord, is not Christ. And Lord, let us find that place if we've not found it. To lay down our burdens in you and walk away from them, Father. Leave it in your hands. And now, Father, we pray that you'll be with us this afternoon as we have a little earthly fellowship here together. Just bless it. Bless the hands that's prepared all this food, Father. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.